Good morning, everyone, and happy, happy Sunday. It's really, really good to see you all. As you know, I've been away for a couple of weeks because I was at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs. And in fact, several of the people that are here in the room now were there with me. So we all missed church for a couple weeks in a row. and it's good to be back again. I'm going to give us all a chance to greet one another by playing the song that I traditionally play during this time, which is called Awakening by Deva, Pramel, and Mitten. So please enjoy our Good Morning Sunday greetings.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Wonderful saying hi to one another. Again, it's good to see you all. As they used to say in the South, and they probably still say in the South, I'm just not there anymore, but my church family. all right, let me begin with our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. And today I would like to focus on our second core value. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Awakening together again, we're joined in a common purpose. We're all equals and we're joined in a common purpose of awakening to one true self. But one thing that our purpose and core values does not say, and to me this is very, very important, it does not say there's only one way to do this. There's only one way to awaken to one true self. And maybe sometimes that gets forgotten. Maybe sometimes when we each have our own way, we could call it our own calling, our own direction, maybe sometimes we forget that there are other paths to the same destination. And so today, I think one of the things we'll be looking at is another path, to the same destination. But first, I'm going to share some announcements. One announcement, the Minister Preparation Program is starting up again. Some of you may have heard about the Minister Preparation Program. This will be the third startup, I think, maybe the fourth startup of the program. As I look at the calendar, chances are, I can't say anything about the future for certain, but chances are this will be the only time that the program starts for a whole year. There probably will not be another startup until around 2017. So anybody that is interested in beginning MPP, I would love it if they heard this information now while the opportunity is here. So if you know of anyone who may be interested in MPP, please let them know that it is starting up again now. For those of you who don't know about our Minister Preparation Program, it is designed to help participants achieve four primary objectives. Now, a lot of people think the primary purpose of a Minister Preparation Program is to become a minister. And it is true that when you complete the Minister Preparation Program, you become ordained as an Awakening Together minister. But I don't think anybody, or at least not many people who are in MPP, would tell you that's the primary reason for the program, nor would they tell you that's the primary reason that they're in the program. That's just something that happens as a result. Listen to these four objectives. This is the primary purpose of the program. Number one, to increase reliance on one's own inner spiritual wisdom. And I think that probably everyone that goes through the program will tell you they find a clear connection to their own inner spiritual wisdom through the MPP program. Number two, to recognize universal truth in various spiritual teachings. Sometimes if we only look at one or two spiritual teachings, the truth is there, but so are a certain set of symbols and some, or a certain path. And sometimes we can get that certain set of symbols or that certain path confused with the truth that it points to. When you look at the same truth over and over again using different sets of symbols and different sets of paths, some kind of a clarity naturally comes about where you start to realize the difference between the symbols and the paths and the truth itself. You begin to get a strong intuition about the truth itself, and you're no longer confused by different symbols or different paths. So that's also a very important objective. The third objective, to embrace natural, wakeful spiritual practice with ease. One of the things that we get to do in the MPP program is, you could say, try out or test out different spiritual practices. And what happens is we all seem to find the one that just is natural for us. A lot of people think of spiritual practice as something you have to force yourself to do. But actually, that's not true. When you find the spiritual practice that you're meant to do, there's a naturalness about it. You may still have to put focus on it because the ego wants you to forget about it, but there's a naturalness about it. It fits for you. And so one of the things that you get to do during MPP is try out different practices and really find what fits for you. And then number four, realize unswerving clarity and discernment. There are so many opportunities to get confused on the spiritual path. There are so many things that sound spiritual, but really are just distractions. And when we go through MPP, we get very, very clear on the difference between that which is really a direct path and that which kind of takes us off in the wrong direction and results in delay. So again, increase reliance on your own spiritual intuition, recognize universal truth in various spiritual teachings, embrace natural, wakeful spiritual practice with ease, realize unswerving clarity and discernment. That's the purpose. That's the purpose for taking MPP. And then at the end, you just happen to be ordained as an Awakening Together minister. Now, MPP itself consists of a free introduction class and two phases. The purpose of the introduction class is to help you really understand the commitment you're about to make and make sure you want to make that commitment. Phase one is a true discernment class, which kind of puts us all on the same page before we go into the different spiritualities. It's an 11-week class. Hold on one second. My computer wants to restart. Let me tell it to postpone for 4 hours. There we go. It's an 11-week class. And then after that class, there is a test, but people seem to do very well on the test. That's not to be of concern. I know some people hear the word test and they get test anxiety, but I don't think that's a problem. And then there's phase two. Phase two is actually 14 classes. Now, the introduction, phase one, and phase two is typically completed in about 2 years. We do have breaks throughout the time, so it usually takes about 2 years to complete the program, but you actually have up to 5 years. So if you have reasons for needing to take longer breaks on your own and rejoin later, you have 5 years from the time you begin the program to complete the program. Now, again, the introduction class comes first, and for anybody who does want to be ordained, the introduction class is mandatory. Free, but mandatory. So if you think you might be interested, these introduction classes are being offered in the month of December so that we can begin phase one, true discernment, in January. There are two new classes two class times that are going to be happening. There is a Tuesday class time, which is going to be 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be the facilitator of that class, and the introduction class is being offered twice in that time frame, once on December 8th and once on December 15th. There's also going to be another MPP class that will be offered on Wednesday evenings from 9:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time. The introduction classes in that time frame are going to be on December 9 and December 16, and Jacqueline Eckert will be the facilitator. Now, the actual program, True Discernment, and all Phase 2 classes will be in those same time frames. So, again, Tuesday, midday, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and I will be the facilitator, as far as we know, for the next 2 years. And Wednesday evenings from 9:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time Pacific, not Eastern Time, 6:30 to 8:30 Pacific, and Jacqueline will be the facilitator. So you can probably take the intro class that fits with the time that you want to take the entire program. Now, this was a lot of information that I just spit out here, so I want you to know that all of this information is available on our website. If you just go to the Awakening Together website and click on classes, you'll find information there for the introduction to MPP class, start MPP, I think it says, and then you also find information there for true discernment, and you can register. So go to the classes menu and click on the start MPP option, and then go ahead and register for your intro class there. Now, for anybody who would love to take the MPP program but feels in their heart that they already know they're not interested in being ordained, you can most definitely take the program without being ordained. We have a couple of people doing that now. Maybe only one, because I think one that was not being ordained has changed her mind. That can happen too as you go through the program. So if you just want to go straight to True Discernment, you don't want to take the free intro class, you can go ahead and register for that under the classes menu as well. So be aware, you can take the program and get ordained at the end, or you can just take the program because of the four objectives and not get ordained. That is completely up to you. My second announcement is tonight we will have our monthly satsang with Miranda McPherson, and that is 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here in the sanctuary. Miranda is the author of Boundless Love and The Journey Home. I just want to say that so far I have been very impressed with Miranda. I listened the other evening when Lynn played her Bat Gap, her Buddha at the Gas Pump interview. But I've also had some email conversations with her. She is very focused on purpose, has a very clear method of teaching, and I think she's probably an excellent, excellent teacher. I'm just very impressed with her so far. So please, if you can, come tonight and listen to Miranda McPherson. If you can't, of course, the audio will be posted later, and you'll be able to listen to that. But I do recommend Miranda very highly, at least based on my experience so far with her. And then my third announcement, with Christmas coming, I know some of you are going to be doing some shopping, and I know people shop more and more online. So I want you to be aware that if you shop on Amazon.com for Christmas or any other time of year, what you can do is shop at Amazon Smile instead of shopping at Amazon, and point 5%, so half of a percent of what you spend can go to Awakening Together. If you register with Amazon Smile, you pick your charity, and you can pick Awakening Together as your charity. And then they will donate 0.5% of what you spend to us. Your cost is exactly the same. If you have Prime, you still get all of the Prime benefits. Nothing changes from your perspective, but they make the donation. And we do get a quarterly check from them now. But those of you who are not yet using Amazon Smile, if you're using Amazon instead, realize this is a very simple thing that you can do. If you go to our website, click on the donate menu, right at the bottom of the donate menu, you'll notice where it says something about support us as you shop. Click on that, and there's a button there that will let you go into Amazon Smile and register with Awakening Together. So again, with the holidays coming up, please register prior to all of that shopping. And yeah, it's a very easy way to be helpful, as Kathy has said. Wonderful. So that's the end of my announcements this morning. And what I'm going to do now is play our opening song. This is an interesting song. It's a Native American country western religious song. That's the genre. Native American country western religious. The artist is Johnny Curtis. And the name of the song is Help Me to Understand You.
Oh Lord, please help me to understand you. Lord, you know I mean no one but you. When you know that we abide, trials come on every side. Oh Lord, please help me to understand you. Oh, why should I feel discouraged when I know you've done so much for me? When trouble comes through everyone, but then I know your will is done. Oh Lord, please help me to understand you. Help me to understand you.
Oh Lord, please help me to understand you.
All right, so let's go into our Sunday morning prayer. I will begin with some silence. Oh Lord, please help me to understand you. When I hear those words in this song, what those words say to me, the way they're interpreted in my mind, is this. Oh Lord, please help me to eliminate any confusion about you, about truth, about what I am. The mind joins us on this spiritual path, and the mind educates itself as we read whatever it is that we read or listen to whatever it is that we listen to. And the mind comes up with its own ideas about what is spiritual and what's not, what's true and what's not. And about all of that is just confusion. So my prayer is a prayer for clarity, for eliminating the confusion, for at least brushing it aside so that we can see clearly down the center. Give us that understanding that is beyond the mind. Teach us to stay in tune, in harmony with that understanding. And let us discover for ourselves just how joyous that is. Amen. All right, so today I want to introduce to you, some of you already know her, but some of you don't. I want to introduce to you Reverend Jennifer Miley Nahulu. She is an Awakening Together minister, and she's going to be reading today from a writing by Bentinho Massaro. The name of this writing is Musings from My Voyages into the Infinite. Miley, the mic is yours.
Hello and good morning. Can you hear me? Okay, good. So I'm just going to start reading this piece that Bentinho wrote 3 years ago. Through the appearance of presence, creation, beingness, consciousness, all that is, or simply existence, the source of creation makes itself known to itself as being beyond creation, duality, and non-duality. Source is, in its own way, yet it is not, in any other way. Unappointable beyondness. It is in the mirror of what is present that that which is not present can know that it is indeed not present, timeless and untouchable. Forever beyond the grasp of consciousness, creation, existence, and its billions of experiences and possibilities. Existence contains infinite possibilities, each of a finite nature. Source, the absolute, contains only one finite possibility, that of utter and complete infinity. In the encounter of infinity through the means of existence, a strange relationship is formed between existence and non-existence, and thus a new avenue is created through you. The illusion of presence is bridged with that which is not present. How unique, mysterious, and beyond reason. Such infinite treasure. The human race has no idea of its own potential. Yet, this realization of beyondness creates an unlikely relationship that then uniquely expresses itself through consciousness into the realm of existence. The result of this expression of nothingness being channeled into everythingness is that it brings all of existence closer to dissolution into its one infinite source. By realizing beyondness, you become a spiritual black hole torn into the fabric of the illusion of existence. As a black hole, you express nothing to the fullest, and thus you support all of life to come a little closer to the event horizon of the black hole, which is the drain at the bottom of God's being, beyond which only indescribable infinity remains. Timeless foreverness, a unity beyond recognition. Exciting it is to realize how infinitely creative all that is and its one source are, and how all that we are is inseparable from all that creative mystery and infinite potential. You are all born to be pioneers of your own unique theme. Whatever you genuinely feel you wish to create, realize, bridge, combine, or conceive of otherwise, whatever truly thrills you to the core of your being, no matter how seemingly small and insignificant through the filters of the mind, go for it with a fearlessness that the world has never seen before. You are a god unto yourself, inseparable from source and all that is. All possibilities are at your disposal. You contain the creativity that can bridge all potentials. Whatever excites you is meant to excite you because it leads you to the purpose of your unique expression of consciousness. Bridge realities that have not yet been bridged before. Follow your deepest, truest passions with integrity and excitement as your basis. Never listen to any doubts. In other words, never listen to other human beings. All that our race knows at this stage is limiting beliefs. Be free from it. Take a chance at being your deepest, most authentic self. This will lead you to more of what you are and further into the beyond. Strip yourself naked of the imagined sense of unworthiness, and your amazingness will reveal itself in all of its glory and magnificent endlessness. May you be you, an extension of all that is, as well as its one infinite creator. You are meant to be here now. Own up to that with a boldness that is out of this world. And always remember, you are absolutely loved more than you are able to ever consciously comprehend. Have no fear, do not despair. Ecstatic, timeless freedom is your only nature. And that's the end of that. Thank you for having me read, Regina.
Thank you for coming and reading, Miley. It was actually a Jacqueline Eckert suggestion that this be the reading this week, which is wonderful because I hadn't given any thought to the reading, and that made it so easy. And as soon as Jacqueline suggested this reading, I immediately thought of Miley. You know, I just thought, oh, she's the perfect one to read this. And so I was so happy that she accepted to get up so early on a Sunday morning and read. So thank you very much. Bentinho to Awakening Together members is kind of an interesting character. And I'm saying that based on the feedback that I hear from the people who are members of Awakening Together. So what I'm about to share is a generalization, kind of taking all of the comments I hear and kind of lumping them together into a general picture. But the general picture that I get from Awakening Together members is, on the one hand, there's an attraction to Bentinho. There's this feeling that there's something there, you know? And then on the other hand, when Awakening Together members listen to Bentinho, sometimes they feel this contraction within themselves as if, you know, isn't he just teaching the law of attraction? What about awakening? Isn't awakening our purpose? And isn't he just talking about playing in the world a little longer? And so it's kind of this retraction, constriction relationship with Bentinho. And I've always heard Bentinho a little differently. But to be honest, I, you know, read Bentinho every now and then. I listen to his YouTubes or attend one of his retreats online every now and then. And I'm not a real consistent Bentinho listener. So I always wondered if I was misunderstanding Bentinho, because I had a different impression of him than this general Awakening Together impression. But as I listened to him speak last weekend at the Awakening Together retreat, I don't feel that I misunderstand him. I feel that I really do understand him. And what I also feel is that very few people understand Bentinho. First of all, just briefly, for those of you who don't know Bentinho at all, he has three primary teachings that for him go in a particular order, but he admits that this was just his path and that these three teachings could go in a different order for a different person. But his order, number one, was awareness. And some of you may be familiar with Bentinho's older teachings, where he used to talk a lot about just pausing and focusing on awareness for 2 to 5 seconds multiple times throughout the day. And this practice really helped Bentinho to become aware of consciousness as what I am, as opposed to this person, this young man named Bentinho. And so this was a very, very important practice, a very important first stage, becoming aware that I am awareness or I am consciousness. After that, after Bentinho came to realize himself as consciousness, he also began to notice, as he continued to go deeper and deeper into that practice of looking at consciousness, he also came to notice that consciousness itself was an object, that somehow there was still something looking at consciousness. And he began to turn around and look within himself to see what that was. And this is when he discovered his second teaching, infinity. This is when he discovered that which is beyond consciousness. And some of you who are familiar with my teachings, you know that I call this the first and second principle of God. And most of us think of realizing that which is beyond consciousness, that which is beyond the mind, that which is called the source. We think of that as awakening and the absolute. And we think once you have discovered that, wouldn't you want to just go deeper and deeper and deeper into that until there was nothing else? But then Bentinho came back with a third teaching, which he calls empowerment. And this teaching seems to be, to many people, the playing in the world teaching. And some people are like, but what happened? You know, what happened? Why did he lose interest in infinity? Why did he come back and start teaching this empowerment teaching? And from what I hear, at least the way I hear Bentinho, the reason is because the word empowerment to him is the same as the word surrender to us. And he sees that as his path and also many other people's paths into infinity. Now let me share with you again some of what he says, some of what Miley has just read, but listen now with the ear of what I just said. He said, first of all, he spoke about infinity. He says the source of creation, so that which is before what I call divine law, right? The source of divine law, which makes all manifestation. The source of creation makes itself known to itself as that which is beyond creation, beyond duality and non-duality. And again, if you know my teachings, the four principles of God, you know that I talk about principles 1 and 2, which are prior to consciousness, prior to divine law, prior to manifestation. Bentinho is talking about the same thing, and he calls it infinity. It's prior to everything that you could say we know. He says, forever beyond the grasp of consciousness, beyond the grasp of creation, beyond the grasp of existence, and beyond the grasp of its billions of experiences and possibilities. So he's talking about this beyondness, which A Course in Miracles refers to as heaven or knowledge. Those are two words it uses to point to this beyondness. But then Bentinho goes on to say, in the encounter of infinity, through the means of existence, a strange relationship is formed between existence and non-existence, and thus a new avenue is created through you. One thing that Bentinho came to realize is that infinity isn't something out there. Infinity is source. And source comes all the way through to this moment now, to this me here. It comes all the way. If it is my source, it is also what I am. In fact, I remember when I was writing NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I believe it's near the end of NTI 2 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit attempted to lead me into a self-inquiry, which would have, at that point, taken me to these exact same realizations. But I got scared. This is what happened to me as the scribe. I got scared. I got scared. It wanted me to look and see what was the source of mind. First it asked, you know, what am I? And at that point in my maturity, which was not much, I thought my thoughts. And it said, what is the source of your thoughts? And I looked and I said, the mind. And it said, what is the source of the mind? It was asking me to go beyond consciousness. In this sentence, mind and consciousness are synonymous. And I got scared. And if you open up to that part of NTI, the end of 2 Corinthians, you'll notice it suddenly jumps into about a bunch of coarse lingo. In other words, I jumped to the intellect and I just wrote course lingo because I was a course student at the time. I did not want to go beyond the mind because somehow I was afraid that I was lost there. What I did not see then is that even this character, Regina, first of all, which is not what I am, but even this character, Regina, is connected to that source. There is nothing that is separated from the source, just like your fingertip is not separated from the palm of your hand, right? And as people often say, a wave is not separate from the ocean. So what Bentinho is pointing out is that there's a strange relationship between this unknowable source and this person that you appear to be. And because there is a relationship, because we are not separate, because there is a connection that the thinking mind cannot understand, right here, as this person living this life, there's a path to realization of that which you are beyond this person. And that is what his empowerment teaching is all about. His empowerment teaching is about learning to tune in to the finger of the source in you, right? We have the palm of the hand, then the finger, then the fingertip. Imagine yourself as the fingertip. What connects the fingertip to the palm of the hand? The finger. You want to become aware of the finger in you. You want to become aware of that which is in you as the person that connects you to the source. This is what in our language we would often call guidance. But the problem is with words like guidance is that other ideas come into play. People think that guidance is going to tell me to do something I don't want to do. Or people think of guidance as coming from something beyond me that I am not worthy to hear, right? And so people have these ideas about guidance that block their ability to become aware of this connection between the person and the source. And Bentinho has a way of teaching that, if heard correctly, does not block that ability. And his teaching is simply this: it is your greatest joy. Find your greatest joy, and you have found your connection to source. Think about that. Find your greatest joy. Find that which, you know, captures all of your passion, all of your excitement, that which you want more than anything else. And you have found your connection to source. It's the easiest path in the world for some of us. Now, one way that many, many people misunderstand Bentinho is they think he means, for lack of better words, whatever I want to do. And people often ask Bentinho, so you mean I can do whatever I want to do? And he always seems to respond with a kind of a yeah, but, because he realizes that what they're looking at are what I'm going to call their head desires. You know, like, let's say what I want to do is quit my job and travel. You see, I think at the head level that quitting my job and traveling is going to make me happy. But maybe quitting my job and traveling is coming from thoughts like, oh my God, I don't want to work. There's no freedom in work. Work is such a burden. Freedom is travel, you know, and it's all of these, we call them wrong-minded thoughts. It's like chasing after an ego desire. And what I'm going to find if I quit my job and travel, I'm going to find travel has its own burdens, as long as there's still burden thinking in my mind. You know, Bentinho isn't recommending that we follow those types of thoughts, which he calls lack thoughts. He isn't recommending that we follow lack thoughts and keep trying to fulfill ourselves through something outside of us. He's way wiser than that. However, most of the people that listen to him don't realize it, so they mishear him. Bentinho feels that in the code of the person, there is written a path that we are to follow. And when we find that path that we are to follow, if we give ourselves to it, it is our greatest joy. You know, a small example from my life. I thought I knew at the ego level, I thought I knew what I needed to be happy. I was on a career path. I was the director of a department in a national company. It was a pretty good job. And the next step up was vice president. And I thought I wanted to be vice president. And I was reading all the books on how to get the job. I was volunteering for projects to lead projects that were beyond my job description. You know, because volunteering for that which is beyond your job description and doing it well captures the attention of those who will be promoting. I was already dressing like the vice president and the senior staff members dressed. But when I started the spiritual path, I began to receive this guidance that asked me to walk away from all of that. And I was scared. I was very, very scared. But there was this sense in me, and you probably heard me describe it before. There was this sense in me. It was like that old TV show, Let's Make a Deal. There was a sense in me that I had already won the washer and the dryer. My life was a good life. I had the washer and the dryer from Let's Make a Deal, which is a good prize. But now Bob Barker was asking me to trade my washer and dryer for what was behind door number two. And I had no idea what was behind door number two. But something in me was saying, you have to find out. You have to find out. You have to find out. And so in spite of all of my fear and having no idea of what was to come, I chose to quit my job. And I chose to follow that guidance, which involved moving. And once I made all of those commitments, the guidance came to write NTI. So what we're looking at is my conscious thought of what I wanted. I want to be vice president. And that inner path of what this person's blueprint is, this person's path back to God, which began with writing NTI. And there's been many, many steps since then. You see, there's a difference between what I think I want and what that blueprint is for this person. And even to this day, right now, I have to continue to let go of what I think I want. We also have to continue to let go of what we think God would want from us. You know, what kinds of, you know, we have these ideas, what kinds of things God would ask and what kinds of things God would not ask. For example, another thing that I find when I look within and I really check with my inner blueprint, which I call my intuition. You know, I have this boyfriend, Ron, that I've been with for 25 years, who's not at all interested in the spiritual path. You know, and so I tell people sometimes it feels like I lead two lives, you know, like I have this life with Awakening Together, and then I have this life with Ron. And many people tell me, you know, leave Ron. Give yourself completely to Awakening Together. And, you know, doesn't that sound more spiritual? It sounds very spiritual. But when I check within, I find stay right here in this relationship exactly as it is. So in order to be able to do things like that, things that appear worldly, we have to be able to let go of what we think God would ask of us. And with Bentinho, one thing I love about Bentinho is he really helps us to do that if we hear him right, because he doesn't even put God in the equation. You know, because God really is a concept, and so we have ideas about what we think God wants from us and what God does not want from us. He doesn't even use the word God. He doesn't use the word guidance. He uses the word resonance. Find your resonance. You know what? My intuition resonates. I can feel that resonance when I check within. It's like I know what I am to do. I feel that resonance. Find your resonance. Follow your resonance. That is your greatest joy. And then he also gives us another tip. He says that whenever you are not happy, whenever you are not joyous, it is because in that moment you are out of harmony with your resonance. So look and get back in harmony with your resonance. So for example, if my mind, and my mind does do this, if my mind starts thinking, gosh, if I just didn't have Ron, I could open my house to everyone. We could start the retreat center right here in my house right now, right? But as soon as I start thinking that way, if I pay attention, I can feel a subtle anxiousness and dissatisfaction with the way things are. That anxiousness and dissatisfaction says I am out of tune with my resonance. Now, some people at the head level would jump to the conclusion, well, then if you get Ron, you'll be back in touch with your resonance because your resonance is to give yourself to Awakening Together. But we can't jump to head thinking. We have to go back within, and we have to, you know, I call it ask, but actually for me it's just a silent looking and checking. You know, I could check, you know, dump Ron. I'm not going to feel the resonance. I can check, you know, forget about turning this house into the retreat center, and I feel it. I feel it. The head doesn't understand it. The head wants to continue to move in different directions. But there's this resonance inside that is so easy to check if I check. And it points me in a direction that the head may never pick. The head may never pick that direction. But if I keep following one step at a time with that resonance, first of all, I'm always happy when I'm in tune with it. I'm always happy. But secondly, it is my path back to infinity. He is teaching surrender as a path to infinity. And when you hear Bentinho with those ears, you will not find any constriction in you. You will find only joy because it's a joyful, blissful message. But as soon as you start thinking, he's teaching me how to fulfill my desires that come from lack, although you would never say that, how to get what I want is what you would probably say, things are going to feel out of harmony again. And you know why? You just stepped out of resonance. You're not hearing him with your resonance. I want to share something with you. I'll tell you who said this after, but I want to share something with you that sounds a whole lot like what Bentinho Massaro is teaching. It is enough that one surrenders oneself. Surrender is giving oneself up to the original cause of one's being. Do not delude yourself by imagining this source to be some god outside of you. One's source is within one's self. Give yourself up to it. That means you should seek the source and merge in it. Because you imagine yourself to be out of it, you raise the question, where is the source? Some contend that just as sugar cannot taste its own sweetness, for there must be someone to taste and enjoy it, so an individual cannot both be the supreme and also enjoy the bliss of that state. Therefore, the individuality must be maintained separate from the Godhead in order to make enjoyment possible. But is God insentient like sugar? How can one surrender oneself and yet retain one's individuality for supreme enjoyment? Furthermore, they also say that the soul, on reaching the divine region and remaining there, serves the supreme being. Can the sound of the word service deceive the Lord? Does he not know? Is he waiting for these people's services? Would he not, pure consciousness, ask in turn, who are you apart from me that presume to serve me? What I hear in this is, as we go deep and deep and deep into surrender, deep, deep, deep into that resonance, deep, deep, deep into that constant checking, staying in harmony, this isn't serving God. This is merging with God. This is a path of merging, surrender, true surrender. Now again, what this that I just read says is, you know, you can't think it's the individual's ideas. You have to be willing to let go of that individuality and surrender to that resonance. But you also can't think of it as, I'm serving God, because that also separates yourself from your source. The resonance within you is the finger of the source. And by giving yourself over and over and over again to the current moment's resonance, you are merging with the source. You are becoming one with the source. And by the way, that was Ramana Maharshi that I just quoted. One thing that Bentinho asked us, those of us who were there, and he asked it, I don't know how many times, 10 times maybe, like in a row, to make sure we were listening. He kept saying, what do you want? What do you want? You know, what do you want? He just kept asking that question. And, you know, some people stay up at the surface level of wants and say, you know, I want this, but they don't understand they're at the surface. The individual want, the ego want. They're not going to merge at the surface. He asked that question 10 times, I feel, so we could go beyond those, the first answer that we might throw out and the second answer that we might throw out and the third answer that we might throw out and get down to the deeper resonance of now. And that is what we are to do now. Now, for some people, for example, if I was David Hempel, age 19, a part of that now might be going to university, right? When David told me that he had decided to go to Oklahoma State University and become a school teacher, something in me leapt with joy. Like, oh my God, you found your path. I mean, it happened inside of me. It leapt with joy. Just like John the Baptist leapt with joy in his mother's womb when Mary walked up pregnant with Jesus. It leapt with joy. You know, some people would say, oh, David, you know, he was on the spiritual path, but he left the spiritual path. In fact, even David had those thoughts that he left the spiritual path when he went to university. But you know what that is? That's thinking we know what God would ask from us. We got to let go of thinking we know what God would ask for us. That is resonance, and he found his resonance, and something in me recognized it. So when we ask within, what do I want, what do I want, what do I want, we have to do two things. First of all, we have to go deeper than those surface-level wants, because those are deceiving. Those aren't going to get us there. But we also have to trust. When we do get to the want, when we do get to the resonance, we have to trust it, even if it doesn't, quote, sound spiritual. Even if our mind tells us something else would be more spiritual, we have to trust that resonance. That is our guidance system. He did use those words over and over again, our guidance system. Follow our guidance system with innocence, which means we don't think we know better. He talked about the Adam and Eve state of mind before they ate from the tree of knowledge, that innocence. What do I know? Yeah, be stupid. What do I know of where God would move this personality? Nothing. I cannot judge. I can only feel for the resonance. In fact, another thing that Bentinho says, I love this. The words are very, very different. But if you listen carefully, you'll really hear the same teaching. He says, by realizing beyondness, you become a spiritual black hole torn into the fabric of the illusion of existence. Do you know what that spiritual black hole is in my language? The empty shell. There's not a me thinking I know where I am to go or what I am to do. I am simply following the joy of resonance. How easy is that? Simply following the joy of resonance. You know, going about without a head full of ideas, following my bliss in a very genuine way. And in fact, by the way, if you read this writing by Bentinho, and I will post it along with this teaching, he uses words like genuine and, oh, he says, whatever you genuinely feel. You know, he uses words like genuine. He uses words like true, whatever you truly want, whatever is most authentic for you. He's using those words to try and point beyond those surface wants, right? But what a joy if we can let go of all of our thinking about what we want and what God would ask of us. What a joy just to stay tuned in to joy and then go about life as an adventure, taking us back to God. There's a song I'm going to play at the end, the very, very end. Here's a line from that song. In this world, you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. That really captures what Bentinho is teaching, at least as I hear it. You know, you've got a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings. Let go of thinking and just check, keep checking. Where does it take you? What a joy. And through that practice of surrender, you merge with your source. Merge with your source. Just by being right here, right now, following the blueprint, the perfect blueprint that is a part of this character. All right, so what I would like to do now is just play a song that will allow us to kind of contemplate this teaching. The song is very much like how Bentinho ended this writing that we just read. He said, "And always remember, you are absolutely loved more than you are able to ever consciously comprehend. Always remember, you are absolutely loved more than you are able to ever consciously comprehend." The song just happens to be written by a man who chose surrender as his path to God. And it took him down some unlikely avenues. In fact, yeah, it's Michael Singer. He started corporations and he became rich, even a billionaire. Some people would say that's not spiritual at all, right? He followed his resonance. And he's the one who wrote this song. So let's listen. "If You Knew How Much I Love You" by Michael Singer.
There's so much love, so much love. If you knew how much I love you, you'd melt in ecstasy. If you knew how much I love you, your heart would be set free. If you knew how much I love you, your mind would cease to be. If you knew how much I love you, you'd let go and merge in me. If you knew how much I love you, you'd melt in. If you knew how much
Stop it there just because of the time. That was 5.5 minutes, and it still has a couple of minutes to go. And I do want to make sure that I give time for you all to share based on what came up for you during the reading, during the teaching, or during the contemplation that followed. So who would like to share? Yeah, it looks like everyone's feeling very quiet today. But then tell you what, if you're feeling quiet, let me see, can I restart the song and just finish the song? Oh, nope, Kathy has her hand up. That's good, because I couldn't restart the song from where I left it. Kathy, the mic is yours.
So can you guys hear me?
Yeah, Kathy, we heard you say, can you guys hear me? But then the mic dropped. Do you want to try it again?
Okay, can you hear me now? Thank you. As I was trying to explain very quickly, I got an upgrade to where I can listen on my iPad and speak on my iPad. So this is a new thing, and I hope I'm not too loud or too soft. I wanted to say that I would certainly like to listen to that Bentino or see that Bentino reading in some other place, and I trust that it will be posted so I can listen to that and contemplate that a little bit more deeply. I also didn't know Bentino very well at all before having the opportunity to, you know, include him as the final part of a very nice week. And I must say that I liked Bentino a lot. I liked what he had to say. I noticed that his presence in the room alone was enough to bring the crowd from their chit chat
And, you know, the external talking and, you know, all of that to a place of silence. And he didn't have to say a word. He simply just cast his gaze over the audience back and forth. What to me felt like was a real engagement, an expression of, you know, we're here for this purpose of silence and joining. So let's, you know, kind of cut the BS in his own fun way. So I did notice that, and also on a more, you know, just I do still notice things in the world, and Bentino seems to have a audience that, you know, consider him their teacher, or at least are familiar with him to some degree, and a large majority of them are younger people. And so I did notice that, and I was seated next to Jennifer Miley that read today for us, and this was our last day, and apparently some of the gals had gone out on the Saturday night prior to the Sunday morning talk, and had an hour-long discussion or so, and had formulated a specific question that they then assigned to one particular gal to ask on Sunday morning. And what I noticed in the asking of the question, and I could have this all balled up because I was actually sitting behind this person that was asking the question. She was, I believe, like in the second row or so, and so her vocalization would have been forward of my ears, and I don't claim to always hear everything and pick up every single word. But what I sensed was maybe a genuine question, but the way that it was worded seemed to have sexual connotations to it. And, you know, what ran through my mind is that, you know, Bentino's a young guy, he's 26, he's, you know, in human terms, kind of in the prime of his sexuality, so to speak. And I'm not even saying that this was his interpretation, but he refused to answer the question. He simply said, I'm not going to answer that question. And he diverted his attention to the next person that wanted to share from their heart. And that, to me, felt like integrity. That felt, I was grateful for the example. And so that's really all I really wanted to say about that. I appreciated Bentino's integrity, because there were, you know, in evidence, in physicality, a lot of hotties there, a lot of people that probably think Bentino's a really nice looking guy, and he's, you know, on this wonderful spiritual path, and there's an attraction there. And I can't imagine someplace along the way that it, you know, could not also be that way for Bentino. But in that particular instance, it felt like to me, he just didn't take the bait. You know, it might have felt, you know, cutesy to some degree or whatever. And Jennifer would know more about, you know, what really was the question was kind of boiled down to what Regina spoke to earlier in her talk, was this idea of the absolute going beyond consciousness to this, you know, rarefied air of the absolute. And so the question was kind of related to that. But yes, how to go harder, how to go deeper, harder, faster. Yes, it was, yes. Yes. And so, you know, and the funny thing for me was Jennifer turned towards me like a bolt of lightning, and her eyes were as big as saucers. And she said, I can't believe he just said that. I can't believe he's not going to answer that question. We just spent an hour last night discussing this very idea, and he's not going to answer that. And so, you know, I just simply let that comment go, but I had to laugh at her reaction and say within myself that I was glad for that demonstration of true purpose. So that's all I'm going to say. And thanks for letting me know that I can use my mic on my iPad. I'm stoked about that. Bye.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, Dove says, open to interpretation. And, you know, I'm sure we all had our own interpretation. My thought when they asked the question was that, I mean, I don't know what they want to do, deeper, harder, and faster. But my thought was they had not yet found the true resonance, the genuine resonance that Bentinho is talking about. They were still at the surface. How do I do what I want at the surface, deeper, harder, and faster? How can I get more and more and more of what I want? And that isn't really what Bentinho is teaching, I don't think. He's teaching about true resonance. And because they were not yet at that true resonance and really did not understand, he couldn't answer the question. That's the way I interpreted it. So, yeah, they wanted to do more in the world. And Bentinho, that's not his teaching. I don't think that's his teaching. And I think he's highly misunderstood. And I perceive Bentinho as a master. Dances, the mic is yours.
First of all, thank you all very much. I'm not hugely familiar with Bentinho. I've only recently heard of him through you guys. Excuse me. One of the things that you said brought up this follow the path of least resistance. And that's like what water does and electricity does, and those were the things that kind of came with that. And then I was like, is that necessarily true? Because like ego would, I mean, it sounds like that to me sounded like an ego trap. That was my thought, and that was what came next. So I did notice, I have been noticing resistance as far as new teachers, but that's really based on that I've got self-help books from like the mid-80s, and I know at this point what resonates and what doesn't. And it's kind of like something somebody said, they kind of say at 12-step meetings, take what you need and leave the rest. You know, any one single teacher, they're still, you know, just giving example of their own personal experience. And it's not a right or wrong thing. It's just wherever we are. And I'm not even, I don't even think it's so much like a bunch of different paths they all lead to the same place as it's just we're all going to the same place and we don't know where we each other is on the path or what we need based on where we are. You know, I might be in a, you know, a part of the path that's very shaded and need, you know, a flashlight, an extra light or whatever, but I like that it doesn't say the Course in Miracles. It does say a Course in Miracles. I'm finding that a lot of things are coming up that are what I'm looking for. You know, like things on Facebook and things on YouTube are showing up more related to lately, they have been more related to very healing and helpful things rather than the misery and the suffering and so forth and so on. Paul says this. Okay, I'm sorry. My mic is all the way up. I'll get closer to my laptop and see if that helps. Where I am, mean where I think I am or something else. I didn't think about it. It just, like, I don't know. Like, everywhere at once is what I think God is and what we are, the real us. And a video that I was watching yesterday really summed it up really well. And it was like,
And it was kind of talking relating to like the Matrix and how that I've decided to play this game, and I've chosen this avatar, this body, and it has these challenges. And just like in a video game, the avatar cannot walk through trees and walls and stuff like that. It still has to go through the maze. And having free will, choose again. You know, if I don't like this path, if I realize that, oh my God, I'm in misery and this can't be right. If miracles aren't happening, then, you know what I mean? So on the path is when I say that, you know, I have an image there, like for symbolism, but, it's just, you know, where's the middle of infinity? So I didn't think about it. That was just the symbolism that came up. So, all right, and then I do want to say thank you all very much and drop you the mic.
Thank you, Dances. And I think I just want to say one thing in closing, because I do understand why Bentinho's message is hard to hear, because, again, we get confused about who we are and what we want, and that alone is going to confuse us when we're listening to Bentinho. And I assume that maybe today when I was trying to clarify, for some maybe it was clarified and for some maybe it's still not heard. For example, I thought I heard Dances say that I said something about taking the path of least resistance, and I don't remember saying that. In fact, in my own example, resonance took me through great resistance. I was very afraid to let go of my job. Oh, that's not what you said. Okay, good, Dances. I misheard you then. But I want to give an example. I want to give an example that Bentinho gave, which I thought was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. He was talking about, again, when we're doing what we think we have to do. Like if we think we have to meditate, we think God wants us to meditate. Meditation is the path. Everybody tells us meditation is the path. And we sit down to meditate with this sense of have to. He says, that's not resonance. And then he said, it was so beautiful. Everybody who was there may remember this. And then he said, resonance is when you're in the shower and suddenly right there in the shower you want to meditate. And you close your eyes. And then he closed his eyes and demonstrated. And there was such power in the room for that, 35, 45 seconds that he had his eyes closed, demonstrating, meditating, because it's resonance, because you want to. That was a perfect example of what he's trying to teach. It's not what we want from lack. What we think will make us happy at the surface level. It's not what we think God requires of us. It's an inner path of resonance that we can find if we just look and keep looking and keep checking. And it can direct us every step of the way. All right, so what I would like to do now is just play a closing song, which I think captures the spirit of this resonance that Bentinho teaches. And it is the song, Why Walk When You Can Fly, by One by One. I quoted one line from this song earlier, and the line was this. In this world, you've a soul for a compass and a heart for a pair of wings.
In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble. In this world, there's a whole lot of pain. In this world, there's a whole lot of trouble, but a whole lot of ground to gain. Why take when you could be given? Why watch as the world goes by? It's a hard enough life to be living. Why walk when you can fly?
Why walk when you can fly?
Oh.
Why walk when you can fly?
Why walk?
Why walk?
Let me just leave you with these words from Sri Ramana Maharshi. In total surrender, the ego is completely lost. Thank you very much, everyone. I love you. Bye-bye. Yeah, and by the way, thank you, Jacqueline, for suggesting this reading. Thank you, Miley, for getting up and reading it. And thank you, everyone, for being here. Bye.